Invite you to be seated. So today is Palm Sunday, the beginning of Holy Week. And we say these words, Hosanna. And if you're curious, the words Hosanna means in English something like, save us now, please. Something to that effect. And that's why the title of this message is Save Now! Exclamation point. And so something that I'm always amazed at when I read a familiar passage in Scripture like this, you know, we read it a lot when Jesus goes into Jerusalem and people waving palm branches and all that, how when you reread it again, and when I reread it a couple weeks ago again, how the Holy Spirit just throws different things in your face that you didn't maybe notice before. And so that is my encouragement to you, by the way, just a little side note. When you're reading Scripture, when you are reading and something that may seem small and insignificant kind of jumps out at you, pay attention to that, because the Holy Spirit is working through that and may be telling you something. And so a couple questions came up for me when I was reading through this again, this familiar passage of Jesus going into Jerusalem on a donkey. And the first question, it's on your sermon notes, why were the people so excited? Now, we have to, sometimes we lose the context of these people were frenzied. They were super, super excited about what was going on here. So why were they so excited? Well, in the first couple verses, let me read them to you. It's in John chapter 12, verses 12 through 19. The next day, the large crowd that had come to the feast heard that Jesus was coming to Jerusalem. So they took branches of palm trees and went out to meet him, crying out, Hosanna! Blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord, even the King of Israel. And Jesus found a young donkey and sat on it, just as it is written, Fear not, daughter of Zion. Behold, your king is coming, sitting on a donkey's colt. Familiar passage, right? So there's an interesting little nugget here at the beginning, at the verse, that jumped out at me this time as I reread this. And it was the description that John gives us that there was a large crowd. It may seem weird that this jumped out to me, but I'm weird. And it jumped out to me, large crowd. Why is he focusing so much? Why is there a large crowd? Well, remember, there are, at this time, a ton of people in Jerusalem and the surrounding area. Remember, Passover's coming up, which is why Jesus and his disciples are also going to Jerusalem. So there's lots of people around. And what did Jesus just do? We talked about it last week. He raised somebody from the dead. He raised Lazarus from the dead. We talked about that. He was in the tomb for 4 days. And Jesus rose, and news travels fast. Even back then, even before Twitter and Facebook, news traveled fast. People wanted to go see what all the commotion was about. They're hearing this news that some guy raised another guy from the dead. That's pretty exciting. We got to go see what this is all about. And so that even increased more people, more of a large crowd around Jesus because of what he had just done. So think about it for a second. Have you ever gone to your window to see what's happening when you hear sirens in your neighborhood? Have you ever done that? Or maybe you hear something going on at your neighbor's house. You're curious. You want to see what's going on. Well, this sort of happened when you called me to be your pastor. You did a parade welcome. This was during, you know, the COVID lockdown, and it was led by a policeman with his sirens on. And so, of course, I was a little nervous when I first saw that, And then I noticed as I came out of the driveway, and then I noticed, you know, it was y'all doing a parade welcome. All my other neighbors are out on their porches looking, what's going on? What are the crazy Hedke family up to now that the cops are here? But we're curious people and want to be around commotion and what's going on. And that's exactly what's going on here on that first Palm Sunday. These people heard about what Jesus had just done, and they wanted to be around it. They wanted to be around this excitement. It was the cool thing to do, the popular thing to do. And by the way, this would have been the absolute height, Palm Sunday, of Jesus' popularity. But why was Jesus popular? He was popular because he was doing cool things. He's raising people from the dead, for crying out loud. It's not because he's washing disciples' feet. It's because he's doing cool things. And so people want to be around it. I like to call these kinds of people bandwagon fans. Has anybody ever heard that term before? It seems to happen every year. It doesn't matter what sport, football, basketball, baseball, hockey. Whoever wins the championship, all of a sudden you see people coming out of the woodwork. Oh, yeah, I've always rooted for them. Because it's easy to root for the best and the most popular team, right? By the way, I've noticed that a lot of the fans that joined my Packer wagon have left since 2011. I notice these things. But this was an easy and comfortable time to follow Jesus. He's super popular. Everybody loves him. So let's go be around Jesus. So a question I have this morning, this Palm Sunday, for you to ponder, even ponder throughout this Holy Week. When have you done something in the name of popularity and comfort? Or taking the easy path? Have you ever done something like that? You know, it's easy to follow Jesus when things are going well in our life. It's harder when we are asked to deny ourselves and carry our own cross. It's easy to skip church, to golf or play sports or go on vacation. It's harder to make time for Jesus instead of those things. It's even easy to go to church on Easter Sunday, because it's such a joyous occasion. It's happy. We have very upbeat music. Jesus has just risen from the dead, and we're celebrating. It's a little bit harder to go on Monday, Thursday, and Good Friday, where it's somber, and it makes us see and feel and what Jesus went through on our behalf. You know, back to this large crowd that's following Jesus, tearing off their clothes, tearing off palm branches, waving them in front of him, yelling, Hosanna, save us now. They wanted Jesus to save them from the Roman rule and to come in and establish an earthly kingdom that would be the force of the world. And of course, it was going to be this guy. He's raising people from the dead. They wanted an earthly leader and thought Jesus was going to be it, even though Jesus is riding into town on a donkey. You know, a mighty king would ride in on a horse, not a donkey. A mighty king would be a warrior leading the army into battles. Not a servant who washes feet. A mighty king would rule with authority and lord his power over the establishment and kick the Romans out. Not be the bearer of burden. the Savior of the world, was riding a beast of burden we nicknamed the donkey, while he carried the burdens of the world on his shoulders. You know, there's a very cool crimson thread connection here in this passage in John 12, verse 15. Do not be afraid, daughter Zion. See, your king is coming seated on a donkey's colt. See, this is cool. These are the things that excite me. This very event, this Palm Sunday event, was prophesied about 550 years before this. This is a direct quote from Zechariah 9:9. Zechariah prophesied this to the people, that a Savior would come and save them. And he'd be riding on a donkey. And this is exactly what Jesus did. So let's get to the next part here of the text this morning. John 12, verses 16 through 18. His disciples did not understand these things at first. But when Jesus was glorified, then they remembered that these things had been written about him and had been done to him. The crowd that had been with him when he called Lazarus out of the tomb and raised him from the dead continued to bear witness. The reason why the crowd went to meet him was that they heard he had done this sign. And this sign, of course, is raising Lazarus from the tomb. And that, again, that's why there's so many people there. So the next question I had when I reread this again is, why did the disciples not get it? They have been with him now for 3 years, witnessing Jesus fulfilling prophecy after prophecy, seeing Jesus perform miracle after miracle, healing people, doing all kinds of cool things. They still didn't get it. It says here in John that they didn't get it until after Jesus' death and resurrection. And then the Holy Spirit made it clear to them that, yes, Jesus is just doing everything that Scriptures already said he was going to do. And then they got it. But I think the disciples, it's always easy to be critical of the disciples, but you know what? We would be right there with them, wouldn't we? Confused. We would have gotten caught up in the hoopla, probably thinking, oh man, this is awesome. We are Jesus' main men, and we are going to hold powerful positions in this new kingdom, and we're going to be awesome. They got caught up into it. All these people tearing off their clothes and waving palm branches. They're following the one. And it got me to thinking, they were probably wondering why Jesus wanted to go in on a donkey. They probably, I mean, maybe one of them suggested, you know, how about a horse, Jesus? That would be a little bit cooler than a donkey. Let's get to the last verse here in John chapter 12, verse 19. So the Pharisees said to one another, you see that you are gaining nothing. Look, the world has gone after him. See, the Pharisees are saying this amongst themselves to each other. Look, the world has gone after him. And so this is a little bit more of an obvious answer to this next question, but why were the Pharisees so agitated? You see, they saw that the grip they have on power, the power that they had over the people, was slipping because their popularity was being taken by somebody else's popularity. And they didn't like it. They didn't want somebody else to be getting that attention and power and popularity. They wanted it for themselves. Their importance was being challenged. You know, and it also got to me to thinking about our own lives, and how often do we sometimes act like this too? You see, we like to be in control of our own lives. It's hard, isn't it, sometimes to give that control over to Jesus? You You know, this popularity of Jesus took a fast, very fast, and quick plummet. We're talking a couple days. He was riding this popularity high. Jesus' popularity, Jesus went from the heights of fandom to very quickly the depths of abandonment. You see, the same people. Well, let me go to these pictures now. I have three pictures I want you to think about, ponder on, and think about this week. This first picture is a picture of the Palm Sunday event. And you can see there, these people are excited. They got the palm branches just like we did. And by the way, great enthusiasm on the waving of the branches. But you see, they're taking their clothes off. They're putting down blankets on the ground so that even the donkey that Jesus is riding isn't touching the ground. See, they think this is going to be their earthly king. They're laying the best out for him. Palm Sunday, Jesus' height of popularity. The same people that are yelling, Hosanna, Hosanna in the highest. Next picture. In a couple days, are going to be yelling, crucify him. See this picture, the palm branch quickly turns in to a crown of thorns. Jesus' popularity plummeted very quickly. But see, Jesus knew what was all going to happen. This was all part of the plan for him to save the world. And then this next picture, they indeed did crucify him. And this is what sometimes is hard about the Good Friday service. Realizing the torture and the blood that Jesus shed on that first Good Friday. It's hard. Because this is our Savior, our Messiah who loves us so much that he did this for us. It's hard to see him this way. But this is exactly what had to happen. Remember, this is Passover time. Everybody was getting that perfect, spotless lamb to sacrifice. Again, not a coincidence. Because this spotless lamb died and shed his blood that covered each and every one of our sins. And that's what this week is all about. Will you please pray with me? Heavenly Father, we indeed thank you for this amazing gift. The fact that you sent your son Jesus, who lived a humble servant-like life on our behalf. Help us to be more like him. Help us to keep you number one in our lives. We're sorry that we often fail at this. But that's exactly why Jesus came, so that he could die for all of our sins. And again, we thank you for that. We have so much to be thankful for, Heavenly Father. We thank you for the gift of life that you have blessed us with. And we thank you that you have blessed our own Rod Stroutman with 60 years of life on this earth. We thank you for blessing Steve and Don Herman in their marriage that just took place here yesterday. Pray that you be with them all. And Father, we are so thankful that you brought little Bethany Kahneman through her surgery. We thank you for the advancement that we have in our medical technology, that we can do surgeries like this that help. Thank you for being with her and helping her to recover quickly. And Father, there's all kinds of other things that are on our prayer cross, and we pray that you be with each and every person in whatever need they have. And Father, we pray that you be with us here at Promise as we enter this new season. We pray that you help us to always keep our eyes fixed on you. The crimson thread who loved us enough that shed his blood for us. Who also taught us to pray. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come.
thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses as we forgive those who trespass against us.